Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 526. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. How are you doing?
Good. Why are you laughing already? I mean, that's literally the intro. We can't. There's no way stuff messed up already.
I was thinking about it. I almost introduced it like it was an OPA show. And I kind of caught myself in the middle of it. I'm like, I think that sounds okay. I'm going to let it go. Because I don't feel like, even though it's like not even into the show right now, that I didn't feel like rewinding.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Right. Take 5 seconds and go back and listen to the beginning. You can see where I kind of stuttered for a moment.
We remember the days when we used to do this, and it would take me... We'd have to start over like 2 or 3 times because I would routinely just get the opening wrong.
Oh,
like, it was just—I just mumbled. Like it was terrible, just terrible stuff. So,
yeah, it was. It was definitely not that level.
yeah, well, most people didn't hear that stuff because back when we used to edit more stuff. But yeah, so yeah, So sorry about so anyone that was looking forward to a show last week with me about Clash of Champions. We won't get into the details, but I'm alive again, so...
And we're not really going to talk about Clash of Champions at all.
I mean, a little bit, because I did say I wanted to like mention The Fiend and all that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, and that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
So, real quick, Clash of Champions thing, that was a fun show. That was also a show that was very divided by the crowd, which, when I watched it back, was not picked up on TV.
Oh, okay.
When Kofi Kingston came out, it was not the raucous amount of applause you would have expected.
Oh, plus, interesting.
There were a lot of boos.
Huh.
And that's what surprised me the most. Like, it's Kofi. What the hell are you booing Kofi Kingston for? And, I mean, the guy's done absolutely nothing wrong, you know?
I got nothing on that front. I dig the Kofi.
Yeah.
So,
there's not even complaining about how he's not over and whatever else. And it's like, okay, fine. But when he beat Orton, there were people booing.
Oh.
And I'm like, is that more against Kofi or has Randy Orton transcended that point where people are just going to cheer him? And I don't know the answer, because, I mean, his music kicks on TV, and people cheer.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's true.
He does all the stuff. People don't really boo.
Yeah, so, he definitely has a heel persona still, like, even if they kind of just play him as Randy Orton.
Yeah. The one thing I loved about the Kofi Orton feud is you got to see what a motivated... and into a storyline Randy Orton looks like again, because he was all over that. You could tell he was into that story, and, you know, it was worth his time. Because I've told you this, and Shahid and I have talked about it too, I don't think he wants to be doing this. Like, wrestling, sure, but dealing with TV and all that stuff, I really don't think he wants to do any of that stuff. He just wants to get out there, wrestle around, and then, you know, call it a day. Not dealing with writers and whatever else.
Well, I mean, we have lauded him, I think, just about every host at this point, about his work schedule. You know, because, like, he shows up slightly more often than Brock Lesnar and gets zero of the beef for it. And it's mostly because everyone still loves a good RKO.
I saw a meme on Instagram, and it was like someone's like shocked face or like excited face, and it's like that face you make after 15 minutes of a boring Randy Orton match, and then he hits one RKO, one spectacular RKO, and it makes you forget how boring the match was. Like, I mean, I guess like part of that, honestly, I think it's built in truth.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me, though, I'm like, he brought it during this Kofi thing. There's no way around it.
Yeah, and I haven't really had a problem with his wrestling for the most part for a while now. Like, I mean, he kind of has a style of match, and it's definitely not the high-flying kind of fast match that is prevalent for the most part today.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and he never was either.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of appreciate it. Like, I don't... It's not obviously my favorite match, but he always has a good match. Like, there's never... even though you might not always say that he has the best matches, like, you never say that he has a terrible match, though, for the most part, either.
No, unless, I mean, if Randy has a horrible match, it's the dance partner. It's not him.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
You know. But...
Yeah, and Kofi Kingston was a good dance partner.
Yeah, and I still hate some of Kofi's offense. I still despise him jumping in the air to clothesline somebody. It just looks dumb. It always has, but whatever. He's going to keep doing it, so...
Oh, yeah, it's not changing after this long.
No, I mean, why would it, so... But, yeah, the other thing is with Sasha Banks, people were booing Becky Lynch and really wanted Sasha to win. That was strange. And I know a lot of people like online were upset with the end of that match. That went over really well in the with the crowd. Like, she grabbed the chair to hit Sasha. The crowd was like, do it. Yes, hell yes. And then, of course, you know, the way the match ends. And then when they went into the crowd... People were going crazy until they went into the concourse area, which is where those two went in. That's where Frazier and I usually have seats. So they would have been fighting right next to us. God damn it.
Should have bought the regular
seats. That's where the Shield walked down next to us.
Oh.
And then after Moxley, sorry, well, yeah, Moxley now, but after Ambrose turned on Seth, he came down the aisle right next to us right there. So.
Oh.
Somehow we always have seats in the same place, but...
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't think I pay enough attention when I go down to Nationwide and or The Shot to know where that might happen. Because I do know that... Because one of those Raws and the wife was with me that time because we saw... Because The Shield came down and we were only, like, half a dozen seats off of the, you know, the aisle that they came down...
Yeah.
Because that's when I was like, Jesus, I had no idea Roman Reigns was that big.
No. And, okay, so with that, people were into that match too. I guess the old days, the crowds were raucous the entire time. So it was loud the entire time.
Uh-huh.
And now it's kind of changed where people, like, a lot of the audience watches and then gets excited for big stuff. Maybe that's just how they've... You know, subjected their audience to the changes now.
Oh.
Like, you know, how it changed, whatever else.
Yeah.
But it did not come across on TV at all. Well, when Roman and Eric Rowan went up to the ramp we're fighting, we saw Luke Harper pop out from underneath the ring.
Oh.
The side not on camera was coming unglued. Because as soon as he pops out, I go, that's Harper. And Frazier's like, no, it's not. I was like, yes, it is. Because he had his hair up.
Uh-huh.
And then, and by the way, we were sitting with wrestling fans. they made this part pretty cool. Because when it was Harper, our section was going insane. I mean, you know me, future world champion Luke Harper, which may or may not happen. Anyways,
I'm gonna lean towards not happen. As much as I still love him.
It's about time they brought him back. So he's down there and we see it, and I'm like, and then it's the slow realizations are building, like, wait a minute. When he hit Roman Reigns, it was a raucous cheer. I mean, I've said that word twice now.
Oh.
It was a loud cheer. Kinda came across on TV. I'm like, did they mute it? Like, because I was watching a replay, so I don't know what it was like live on the network, But on the replay, it was not as loud as it was there.
Gotcha.
Which kind of sucks, but whatever.
Yeah, and that's something that... I don't know if I've desensitized myself to crowd reactions. Or what, because, like, you had kind of brought this up in conversation, and I don't really remember, you know? Like, it's one of those things where I know that I watched it live on the network. I didn't really have any glitches going on. So, you know, but I can't give you an answer as to whether it sounded better then or not.
Well, then, to go on crowd reaction again, the end of that match with Roman, and, I'm sorry, not Roman, Seth and Braun
did not
go over well. That people were ready for Seth to lose or Braun to win finally, when I want to look at it.
Oh.
When Seth hit the first stomp, that place was booing. And then he had the next one, and then he kicked out at one, everyone went crazy. Or before it was a one, I believe. Whatever it was, the crowd was going crazy. Like, oh my God, he's going to do this. He hit him with another, and he paid. And then he hit him with the third one, and that's when the boos really started. Then he hit the pedigree, and everyone's like, oh, that was really cool. And then he wins. And I just, I mean, I was pissed. Like, whatever. Like, I know it took four stomps and a pedigree. But still, why are you booking, and maybe it's a little Homer in me, but why are you booking Braun Strowman to look to, like, to lose?
I see now, and that's the problem that I have kind of running into with Seth Rollins at this point. You know, like, to me, you had to have him win. Like, you have him beat Brock Lesnar a second time, but I don't know why you move him on to Braun Strowman, who, I mean, I don't understand what it is with the WWE not learning their own lesson. Like, they keep on going, oh, we want to make stars, but no one's stepping up. But every time they have a chance at making a star, they fuck it up by having the person lose. Like, Roman Reigns, you know, it was great that Seth Rollins came in and fucked up his first title reign. Like, it made for one of the great moments, but it also started a streak of Reigns losing, like, four straight times to Lesnar or to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
In a high-profile match, and we're supposed to, you know, I mean, it took leukemia for people to take him seriously. Like, it's a sad statement to have to use, but I mean, it is. You know, that really reset things for Reigns. And Rollins, they just kind of reset him, and it's just like, why are you doing this? You know, and then Braun Strowman's another one of those guys that's kind of in that category. Like, I, you're definitely not alone. In general, I think, again, like, I know that at least Chris and I have mentioned it. Like, Braun really didn't need that loss. Like, I guess it will be kind of interesting just because, well, actually, that was a straight-up loss.
Yeah.
If they had done...
There was no doubt about it.
Well, and I guess I was kind of thinking about last night there on Raw. And that one is a little more, you know why he lost that match. And with as much as they previewed The Fiend kind of being the next challenger, no matter whether Braun or Seth won, it really would have made more sense in a lot of ways for him to attack on Sunday at Clash of Champions than...
Yeah. And that's what... I think that's what everyone in that crowd was waiting for. Like, there's no way they're going to have Braun lose. And then, like, Seth goes to the top of the ramp, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Part of the problem, and... It's kind of WWE's fault, kind of our fault, all right?
Uh-huh.
Bray said, like on Twitter or whatever, I'm challenging whoever to Hell in a Cell. And then I'm doing this, all right? Well, you're expecting him to show up at Clash of Champions. Because he even, like, hinted around. He'd be there. So when he didn't show up, people were like, fuck this. There were a lot of people that left as soon as Seth won. So there were a lot of people that did not see the end. And that got everyone excited. As soon as the lights went out, everyone knew it was coming. He appeared. It was so loud in there. It was great. And that's why when you're talking about how they don't make new stars, I know Bray's not a new star, all right? But this Fiend character, this iteration, all this stuff is.
Oh, right.
And honestly, it's one of the few things they've done right lately. Like, he came out, he bitch-slapped Braun, not once, but twice last night. I mean, that's craziness. Like, as much as Seth, like, took him out and that sucked, seeing him do that to Strowman was crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's more insulting than taking someone's finisher four times and then a Legends finisher.
Yeah.
To boot.
and then he just gets put down with the Mandible Claw, which I guess could be a Legends finisher, I guess, but...
Oh, right.
Then he gets up, and you're like, oh, here it comes. Nope. Puts him right back down again. And it was like, wait a second. So... I guess the reason I want to talk about The Fiend, obviously, because he's probably my favorite gimmick going right now, or act, whatever you want to call it, because they haven't messed it up yet. Like, I want to know who the producer is on this. I'm guessing Vince probably has his fingers on it. But knowing how quickly, or how closely associated Jeremy Borash was with all the Broken Hardy stuff.
Oh.
I mean, he's got to have a part of this, right? I mean... It's been so good. I can't imagine he doesn't.
someone who has been allowed to keep the narrative going is in charge and doing a great job. That's one of those things that I feel like the news normally leaks at some juncture about who's kind of the creative force behind it. But I don't feel like I've seen anything out there.
No. And the one thing I'm very impressed with so far is, one, he hasn't lost yet. Which he's only had, what, one match? So I can't imagine, you know.
Right.
And then, I guess two. Two televised, how's that? But, no, like, that... Sorry.
Oh, no, okay.
But the fact that, like... They've made him look so good, which is kind of bad because Seth has. I mean, he has to lose at Hell in a Cell.
Oh well, yeah.
He has to, right?
And that's, I guess, then that's the other thing is that they've put Seth now after finally getting him back on track. And having him beat Lesnar for the second time. They put him against Braun, who should probably go over. And then just right after that, they put him in there against Bray Wyatt, who, again, should probably win.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, like, Seth is just cursed for whatever reason. You know, with his title reigns.
Yeah, just getting... He's getting there when somebody else is hotter. And if he's going to be, like, you know, he's going to be the voice, whatever, whatever he's supposed to be at WWE, then... All right, fine. But goddammit, I mean... He's got to be able to step in and be like, yeah, it's my time to lose. Like, it...
Oh...
Especially with how much money they're making with The Fiend. Like, honestly, I think it's too early for a title match. Which, this is going to be nitpicky, okay? Have they said it's a title match? Or are they just fighting?
Oh, I feel like they've said that it's a title match, but...
Okay.
I'm not completely sure.
Alright. I was a little worried about that, like... Are they going to pull one of these where it's just a fight? You know.
No.
So that you know, Bray can save face and win a match, but not the title. Which the Fiend, Bray, the Fiend, whatever, doesn't need the title.
Oh.
Not right now.
Yeah, so. I mean, that is kind of one of the weirder things about the situation. You know, the Undertaker just existed outside of that title so frequently during his career that it is kind of weird for him to be going strong in the paint. Like, it would make a lot of sense for him to go after Braun Strowman. You know, just on history. And I mean, I believe that Braun Strowman's already mentioned the history on Twitter.
That's how all this Hell in a Cell stuff started. Was Bray putting that out there on Twitter.
Oh, okay. That's
why that whole skit about, you know, him going rogue and saying stuff on Twitter. That's why, like, the McMahon puppet was going to fire him. Because it wasn't something that they were going to do, supposedly, you know?
Oh.
So that's what cracked me up during it. And one thing, I don't know, have you noticed Bray himself is slowly, I mean, obviously by how he's acting, but have you noticed his look is getting different with every Firefly Funhouse? He's a little more unkempt. His sweater's getting a little dingier every time.
Oh.
It's great. I mean, I love little attention to detail stuff like that. And it's just great, man.
Yeah, I don't think the WWE pays that much attention to their own movies. If they're doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
For Bray Wyatt.
But that's what I'm getting at with the creative behind it. Like, whoever's in charge of this, they know what they're doing. Because remember when he started, he was all smiles and whatever else. And we're like, what the hell is this?
Oh.
And then he does the muscle man dance, and then all of a sudden the Fiend starts coming out. The set's gotten smaller. You don't see Sister Abigail in the window anymore.
She's been on, though, a couple of times.
No, I just meant, like, the set itself. It's getting more and more condensed to where it's just where the pictures of everyone, all the friends he's made.
Oh, right.
So, I think the McMahon puppet was the last time when he started feeding the McMahon puppet money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still pretty classic.
It makes me laugh every time, because it's like, Vince is allowing this.
Oh, yeah.
If he even knows. I mean, I'm guessing he does, but, you know, all the rumors how he's barely doing creative or he's not there all the time, whatever else. But, I mean, I don't know. I know he's got a sense, supposedly has a great, or a childish sense of humor, or a sense of humor, whatever you want to call it. So maybe he doesn't care, but it's still funny. Like,
That does seem like right up his alley for being amused by it.
Yeah.
I love money. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, so. I'm eating money, pal. So, yeah. So, I don't know. It started off pretty cool, and now they've actually finally made, like, a compelling character. To where, I mean, so does the Fiend win the title and defends it, but Bray's the one that gets it? Like, there's so many different ways to go with this if he wins the title, mind you. Because I'm afraid what's going to happen to Hell in a Cell is Strowman's going to interfere. And Bray won't win the title for some reason. And it's just going to be a way to move it to Strowman and Bray instead of, you know, him winning. But
yeah, which, as I feel like we've both in some ways been arguing that you should have done anyway.
Yeah, it should have been the first one. But, you know, there's always the idea that it's going to be Bray. Bray will be champion until WrestleMania when Balor comes back as the demon. So you have the Fiend versus the demon, which isn't that bad of an idea, to be honest.
So, no, it's a pretty solid idea. I'd be kind of shocked. I guess I'd be a little surprised if he makes it that long with the belt, but crazier things have happened.
Yeah, it'd be nice though, wouldn't it? I mean, beat Seth again. Go through Braun for a few. We'll have to figure something out after that. But well, and then also everything's going to look, I guess, going to look a little bit different in a few weeks, anyways.
They're
doing the draft,
and I guess that is kind of the other thing. Oh yeah, because the draft isn't until the second week that they're on Fox.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think isn't it the first?
For some reason.
No, it doesn't. It's that month, the following Monday.
Oh.
It starts on Raw and then stops on SmackDown?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So things can look different.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I think Chris was saying last week that they're going to either do away with or cut down on the movement between the brands.
Well, that's the rumor. I'm also going with rumor all the time now, and I know it's like a very like Conrad Thompson sort of thing to do. But the more you hear, like, do you listen to any of those podcasts with like Bischoff, JR, like the guys who are doing stuff?
Oh, no.
Okay. To me, they're informative. And it's nice having the perspective of the people who were there during it. Like, I understand we used to work for Wade, and he would get his stuff, like sources, all this. Well, you know, it's all rumor for the most part because they're not there, you know? And I'm not disparaging anybody, so I want to make that very, very clear. But
well, it kind of depends. Like, I guess I don't know who they're talking to. That person might have been there, but it also seems like things change pretty quickly, especially with Vince. So, I mean, you know, I think that's been made pretty obvious over the years at this juncture. Like, if you don't grasp that. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, like, even if the person's statement was true at the time, like, it could look like a rumor because Vince decided to change his mind about the topic and, you know, here we are with some different version of what the person heard.
Yeah. But the one thing, like, the Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff one, I readily admit, I watch all or listen to all of them, not watch the video component, but a lot of the time, they get very bent out of shape about what Meltzer reports. So, I that's just what they do. But so sometimes I wonder if they're just saying shit just to make him look bad, which I don't understand why you bother, but, you know, that's what they're doing. So
it kind of seems like the thing to do for them. Like,
yeah.
I guess at least in that situation, they don't really seem to like him, and I don't know why in particular. You know, especially since there's no, like, Wade heat going on there between the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would think that, I mean, Meltzer definitely seems to be a peg above our old boss, if you would talk about wrestling journalist hierarchy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it is kind of funny that they only pick on number one guy. They don't even mention Wade, like, in
the least. He gets a fair share of shit sometimes, though.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been plenty of shows where they've, because how it will work is, Conrad will take stuff, and he'll mention, like, well, Wade Keller reported in, you know, the Wrestling Torch, Pro Wrestling Torch, whatever, that this did this and this, blah, 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 and, you know, and then sometimes they freak out, but to what you were saying, yeah, Meltzer gets most of the hate, like, just flat out hate, so.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, he's been around forever, and he's like a legit, and I, you take this any way you want, but like Meltzer is a legit journalist. Like he does stuff for MMA. He does stuff outside of wrestling. Wrestling is his main focus, of course. But you know, I'm not saying Wade's not, mind you, and I know there's other people out there, but whatever. So
yeah, after those two, I think that there's a very large dive as far as cachet goes. You know, you may as well list Stunt Granny if you're going to list someone below those two.
Yeah. That's very fair. But I don't even know how we got onto that.
It was something about The Fiend and whether Braun, because you were talking about Braun Strowman. I think it started with the gimmick, the Fiend Demon gimmick, and we kind of talked through that. I'm not sure how we got onto the reporting end of things.
Yeah. All right. Well. So there's that. Sorry, man. I just drew a blank all of a sudden. So we were having some point, but we were talking about movement between the shows.
Apparently,
it's supposed to be a set deal. Once it's on Fox and USA separately, that's it. Because Fox doesn't want to promote shows that are on USA. USA doesn't want to promote shows that are on Fox, which is really bizarre if you think about it. It's a company that can't promote their own shit.
And especially nowadays where, I mean, it's not like the WWE is the first kind of large media company to put itself on two different networks at this point. Like, because, what, the NBA is on, like, three or four different stations?
Well, look at the NFL, for that matter.
Yeah, the NFL is on a bunch of stations. I mean, the NHL is the only bunch of fucking dummies that can't get on multiple networks.
Well, wait a minute. No, you're being a little hard there. They are on the NHL Network and CBC. I'm sorry. That's Canadian, so never mind. That doesn't count. In this example, it doesn't count because obviously WWE's on different stations worldwide.
Yeah.
So they got NBC. Oh, they're on NBC Sports.
They're on the NBC platform. I mean,
yeah.
But it's not like, because even college, like, it's still kind of weird to me that Fox is the home of the Big Ten now.
Yeah, and they do a terrible job, so I just don't like it. But anyways.
But I mean, that's kind of like, even college football, like, I mean, there are just all these multiple contracts, and I feel like at least when the big games come up, they advertise it. Because, like, I feel like ESPN has to advertise for, maybe not advertise, but at least say, hey, this game for, you know, the NBA is on TNT later tonight. Like, they're not allowed to kind of get around that.
I think all of them realize that it's one game during the regular season. And then I'm sure it's probably contractual for the playoffs. Like, hey, people have to know where everything is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, so I would imagine that the WWE will be able to do something similar to that. You know, where they might be able to do more advertising, say, during Royal Rumble season. Because Survivor Series is going to be so weirdly close to when they do this brand split anyway.
No, Survivor Series will be good 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah,
it's in October.
But it's still the next closest pay-per-view, though. Because they'll be...
No, Hell in a Cell will be the next one after the split, right?
Said next closest.
Oh, okay, I got you. Okay. Sorry.
So we'll get Hell in a Cell, and then it'll be Survivor Series. Which, I mean, that's always been so whatever to me. You know, They need to keep the brands separated. And they did do that for quite a while. But they never really built up a reason why the wrestlers should have a beef with the other wrestlers.
Yeah, that Survivor Series thing's going to be weird, man. Especially right after a draft.
Do
I care?
And especially since, obviously, there's going to be a lot of... There's a lot of big storylines heading into Hell in a Cell, so you can't necessarily concentrate on brand supremacy because, A, it hasn't happened, and, B, you have storylines to, you know, that most of your main talent's going to be tied up in.
Yeah. And I was reading today that apparently word's getting out Fox wants to have Bray Wyatt on the Fox show.
Oh, yeah,
To bring back the Fiend stuff, it was like, that's crazy that, you know, this once a character that they've routinely botched, by the way. So, and that's why I don't know, I've always been a Bray Wyatt fan. Yes, some of his promos meandered, so it was partly his fault, okay? But they sabotaged him so poorly with their creative decisions for him. One, breaking up the Wyatt family for no reason. Two, having that idiotic match at WrestleMania. I know we even talked about this. Like, they're going to try and blame him for that decision. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where, you know, they probably fought for something different, and then they're like, okay, we're stuck with this, and they tried to come up with the best ideas that they could.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part about that whole thing was Randy Orton. He didn't want to leave the Wyatt family. He wanted to get overalls, and he wanted to get fat like the rest of them. That's a miserable-ass man. All he wants to do is stop working out, and that's his job he has to. But
oh, boy. Randy Orton. Such a bad person, such a gem.
I don't know, man. I know, like, in the past, he was a hunk of garbage. And it seems like he's better now, but...
Oh, yeah. I guess it would seem that I probably questioning his voting preferences for the most part at this juncture.
No, Jesus.
But everything else, God bless him for everything else that he does. Because even some of that smartassery that he peddles on Twitter cracks me up. Like, he doesn't really hop on there too much, but I feel like he roasts people pretty decent.
He's out there just to be a dick. And,
yeah.
You know, he's
accomplishing his goal.
So.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is going to be pretty weird that, and I guess that's something, since we kind of brought it up with Fox, like, it's going to be weird to not have a Tuesday show and to be able to start this very podcast well earlier than we normally do.
What do you mean there's no Tuesday show?
Oh,
you, sir, have not been keeping up with the news, then.
I have been keeping up with the news. I did see that AXS is going to be debuting Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights to fill the void that SmackDown leaves.
So crazy. Craziness.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have... a chance to watch that again. I think there are still 5 episodes from the previous run that I should probably just erase. Honestly, because I have no idea what the fuck the storylines are at this juncture.
Man, I'll be dead serious. I have no idea what's going on with TNA or Impact Wrestling. Not a single clue. So, it's been so hard to find them.
Well, I mean, I found them, and then it just wasn't worth it. you know, like, all the wrestling that's on, like, I enjoyed, even though it was more, even though AIW is more indie, obviously, than Impact is, I enjoy it more. Like, it's like one of those things where it's just like, Impact is almost in that weird area where the talent in the ring is still pretty good, but Cyrus and Don Callis and what's his name, Scott D'Amore, have been in charge for a while. And I think they were in charge. Oh, yeah, because he was a. Callis was an announcer when I went there in Las Vegas earlier this year.
Yeah.
You know, like, none of the storylines really wanted to pull me in.
Yeah.
So it's just like, great, you're on Tuesday. You are kind of filling something in. I'm still not sure that. I mean, I bet you if we, and we will record around this time, I might throw it on the TV as we're recording. Like, I'll probably watch it more just because of that than I would actually just sit down and watch it on a weekly basis.
I do wonder if they're going to put it on the Access TV website. Like, just because I don't know how many people have access on their platform. I know DirecTV, it used to be, it was standard.
And so, it's still standard.
Okay. And I know I have Spectrum, and it's on there. So, I don't mean standard, I meant exclusive to DirecTV, actually. So that's why I know it's on other stations now, but I don't know, like, there are providers, I should say. But, yeah, I'm with you on the Impact thing, like, I didn't have anything to add, so I was just saying, yeah.
Uh-oh.
But it's like, yeah, man, you're not wrong. Like, the action's fine, but I don't care. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because it's still not enough of an alternative. You know, it's
right.
Still kind of a WWE light kind of a situation. And, NXT feels more different than SmackDown and Raw than Impact does compared to SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah.
I think that came out right.
I think so, yeah. I just had a thought while you were talking. Do you remember the last time you watched or heard anything positive about Ring of Honor?
It's been a long time. I still, I have definitely cut back a bit because I think I have. Oh, and why don't I watch one of those actually as we record the tail end of this show? I feel like I'm two episodes behind.
For Ring of Honor?
Yeah, but
wow.
It's easy because it's only an hour. B, they finally changed their format because they realized it was killing them that they were recording stuff and they didn't have any way to update their show.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because what they're doing now is that Ian Riccoboni has a new female co-host, Quinn McKay, and they kind of throw it to different live events that ROH is doing during the past week. And that's how they keep up with the storylines. And they throw in, you know, some promo segments, in there, too.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels like a more modern product. Because, even I know that NXT was taped, but it never felt that dated. And plus, it always hurts these guys that they do their pay-per-views on Fridays, and their show ends up airing Saturday night in most markets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to air before the pay-per-view. And I...
yeah, okay.
Because, like, mine tapes on Saturday nights, you know, because I have two different Sinclair stations, technically, because they own both Fox and, is it NBC? Yeah, Fox and NBC here in town.
See, it used to be on the ABC affiliate here, and it kept on Saturday, it was Saturday night. Well, it kept getting interrupted, or I'd record it, and I would consistently get the local news, or I would get the end of whatever college football game on Saturday, because it would go over, and they'd never do anything to, you know, preempt stuff or do whatever, like, you know.
Well, so. And maybe it is, maybe it's Fox and ABC that they own then, because that happened to me a lot, but... Because for whatever reason on my network, it always showed, that's why it's not taping multiple ones. Back on WOW, when I had them for cable, Wide Open West for those not initiated, they aired a second one Monday at midnight, you know, just as Monday's starting. They do another one, and it was listed as new. So if the Saturday taping got bumped, it would always also tape the Sunday night one. And that one usually didn't get bumped because they don't have any NFL games that are that late.
All right, speaking of, are you still going to watch the NFL this season?
Yeah. Yep, it really helps that the AFC North looks like it's quite terrible.
Do you know how satisfying it is to see the Browns not doing good? Like, I understand you're the Pittsburgh guy, okay? But
I cannot fully appreciate it with the way the Steelers have played so far this season.
Yeah. But all the hype we heard, all the moves they made, all this stuff, and they're not good.
Well, you know, it was one thing. I got into some Twitter thing with some peoples, and I'm like, the division's probably between the Steelers and the Browns. And the one thing that I said, I was like, the only thing I'm worried about with the Browns is they have a bunch of shiny toys, but they don't have an offensive line.
Yeah.
And not having an offensive line is really hurting them at the current moment. By the way, first match here on Ring of Honor, reason not to watch, the Briscoes against the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, you know what? I'd watch that. Sorry, man. That I'd be like, all right, let's see what these two crazy old men are going to do against these... I don't even know what the hell they call the Briscoes.
Middle-aged men who aren't quite old yet.
Yeah. Well, I know Ring of Honor may be in trouble just because Taven's contract is up or coming up, and he's the friggin' champion still. Somebody else's contract is up soon. Another big player. I think Marty Scrolls is up.
Oh yeah.
In November.
Yeah, because he had always said that his contract was a year longer than pretty much everyone else's in the Elite.
Yeah. So, all right. So this is what I said. Like, where do we want to? Like, we were like, where do we want to start with the show? I was like, it's just whatever. We always run into something. So with him, and I know you've got like the Villain Enterprises shirt and this, but where do you see him going? Because at first I was like, he's clearly going to go to AEW. But then now he's consistently posting pictures of himself with WWE wrestlers, which they're his friends because his girlfriend's in NXT.
Right.
And I'm starting to wonder, like, and I know, like, Adam Cole's girlfriend, you know, Britt Baker, she's in AEW, so it obviously can work, you know.
Oh, right. Everyone gets to live in Orlando.
They're Dean Ambrose, for God's sake. So, I'm sorry, John Moxley. Excuse me, everyone. John Moxley. You know, so stuff can come of it, but, yeah, it's just very, I thought it was cut and dry. Oh, I think, not Brody Lee, who am I thinking of?
Brody King?
Thank you. I think his contract is coming up soon.
Oh, yeah, and they did only sign, not that I think the WWE would sign PCO.
No, no chance in hell.
But I believe his contract is up, too.
Listen to all the contracts running up with ROH. Now, listen, I've as said before, I am not a huge PCO fan. But I know that people really like him. So, that almost seems like a, hey, there goes another, if you want to say star, if you want to call him a star there, which I guess he would be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for that company. And I know it's like very doomsayish, whatever you want to do, but it's just like, okay, they're losing that. Bandito and Rush aren't going to stick around there. I'm going to guess Jeff Cobb will be gone eventually. So, where, I mean, honestly, where does that leave them?
Hey, yeah, I don't know. Like, they're possibly in the worst spot at this point. Like, and I mean, though it was really nice, it's this update and format is nice. Like, it is, like, way too late in the game, you know, to, and I, well, oh, yeah, because they're actually owned by Sinclair.
Yeah.
So and it's not like they're going to move networks.
Right. Well, there are also rumors starting up that Sinclair Anthem was going to try and buy Ring of Honor. Can you imagine the psychotic nature of that? Like, what kind of goofy world are we living in where Impact survives and Ring of Honor would go away? And this is like a few months ago, so obviously nothing's come of it. And ROH is consistently on the rumor mill of being sold or doing this and doing this. But can you imagine the insanity-level transaction that would be?
I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that that Anthem cared nothing about negotiations for TV rights, but then just decided out of the blue, like, oh, fuck it, we're just going to buy a network instead.
Man, I'm with you. And
what?
When they said
why?
Anthem was going to buy Access, I was like, "Is there another? Like, what are you talking about?" Like, I know all the information they gave you, but I was still like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Where does Anthem come? Have you ever heard of Anthem until they bought Impact?
No. And then when they didn't put any real oomph behind Impact, I was like, whatever, Anthem's just another bum company that, for all I know, is run by Jeff Jarrett.
That's very fair. Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, that's what made it even more shocking. Like, they didn't really put much interest and or, you know, production value into Impact. And then all of a sudden, after they're off TV and mostly being viewed on Twitch, they're like, oh, yeah, let's just buy a network from a guy. Because has Mark Cuban sold that off long ago, or was that still his station? Wasn't that Mark Cuban's station?
Yes. Yeah. That was his station. I'm guessing he's been out of it for a while. Because that's just his MO. He starts stuff and sells.
Oh, right.
So, you know, I was just, yeah, Anthem by an Impact, they immediately downsized them, which was a smart thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then moved them out of Nashville to Toronto. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Somewhere
yeah.
in Canada, that way. And then, and then they're just doing, you see these venues, but then, here's the thing, their audience, like, their ticket sales, their pay-per-views, whatever, everything's been on the uptick. That's crazy. Now, I don't think it'll ever get back to where it was, because I know what we always used to talk about, how bad TNA was, this and this, all right? Dude, you watch some of those old shows on Twitch, there were a lot of people in those arenas. When they were doing the arenas instead of, just the Impact Zone,
oh.
They spent all their money.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people, man. And there's no way around it.
Yeah.
Hell, I forgot. I actually went to one. And there were at least 7,000 people there. Now, if they paid or not, it's one thing, but... there were still that many people there.
Yeah, they were playing in AEW size venues.
Yes.
Because that's about what they seem to be aiming for places that, and I think you and I talked about this, that are about 10K or so, which is what Impact was doing at that time. Yeah, as much as we bagged on it, and I mean, I guess you can always kind of understand just because you end up looking at the talent that was there that was mainly squandered, let's say. I won't say completely because they had some great feuds between themselves. Pick your combination of AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Kurt Angle after he finally got off the pills.
Yeah, you see some of that old Kurt Angle stuff, and it's like, oh my god! I remember we really gave that man a hard time.
No,
it was just one thing after another with it.
Him and Matt Hardy went off the rails approximately at the same time, and they both may have caught a lot of grief from Stunt Granny proper.
Yes.
But, hey, when you continue to make trash decisions, I stand by making fun of you.
And everyone's telling you you're making trash decisions, too.
Oh, yeah. On top of that. Hey, we're going to fire you because you're making trash decisions. Oh, I'm going to make some worst ones. Oh.
Yeah, I was like, you think that's trash? No. That's not a challenge. But that's like the mind of an addict, man. I mean, just like, no, you can't tell me what to do, or you're wrong, I'm right, and that. It's just, it's no fun, but that's how it is. So, that's the other thing. You don't get a whole lot of those stories anymore.
Oh.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lack of those stories is something that... thankfully is seemingly been weeded out for the most part.
Yeah, and luckily we're not getting young wrestler deaths anymore. I mean, for the majority, yes. I mean, there's been a few here and there, but not like, well, this week. Or a Tyson Tomko situation where he's robbing pharmacies. Like, we're not getting that. And it's very clearly a positive step. But... Well, no, but this is very clearly a positive step. It's just weird. Where things used to be to where they are now. And not that much time has passed for things to change that drastically.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, that is kind of the crazy thing. Just all of this stuff happening here at the beginning of October. We get NXT is on TV now and is going to be 2 hours just to challenge AEW. Access,
yeah.
Their Impact kind of has a real station again. I'm going to say kind of just because Access still isn't, as you pointed out, in that many homes.
No. I don't think Access TV is even in hotels, which is a giant indicator of like popularity for a station.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's how you know you're getting the money. So yeah, it's just an interesting time. You know, it's like we've got our, do we call them four majors, or do we have two majors and
two minors,
two or three minors? I mean, I don't know if you can count MLW as a legit. Although they get decent crowds at their shows too, so I know I'm judging a lot of it by crowds, but it's like, well, if people go to the shows, doesn't that gives it legitimacy, right?
Yeah.
Especially with like YouTube views that translate into YouTube advertising. So yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, hell, they got professional people that just make horrible videos on YouTube that get paid millions of dollars because of the ads on them. It's crazy. It's just crazy talk to me.
Real,
you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm just like, I still don't even get that. I think Cam had someone on this show talking about how they were on his podcast. They were making like $10,000 a month being an Instagram influencer. I'm just like, whew, okay, I'm just going to go home and cry myself to sleep.
Okay, and I know this is kind of off topic for that, right? But I heard that thing about Instagram influencer, and somebody's like, you should try being an Instagram influencer for beer. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you do that? I looked into it. It usually takes 5,000 to 7,500 followers for you to be able to, like, to get people to notice.
Oh.
And then you get, like, advertisers this, and I went, okay, and then you got to keep doing it because it's like a business. So you can't just be like, all right, I'm going out this weekend, I'll post some beer pictures. No. You got to keep posting beer pictures all the fucking time. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I got shit to do. I can't be doing this all the time. Like, yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I cannot be drunk all of the time.
I mean, you can, but... It's not a healthy way to live. But no, and then the other part is we have something called influencers. Now, does any of that stuff work on you? Like, I even think advertising rates are kind of stupid. Like, does advertising work on you at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
I would like to say it does, but outside of Taco Bell making me aware of whatever shitty new food they have, nothing.
It's pretty limited. I feel like there have been some household items that maybe I thought about. I feel like online advertising is maybe a little bit better in that department. I still think that it's dumb that it's just like, oh, yeah, I needed a fedora for, you know, the wedding or something. So I go and look at them, and then for the next, like, 3 weeks, all I see are fedora ads. And yep. It's just like, motherfucker, I already ordered it. Like, I don't need to see ads now.
Well, I told you about how it works for us. I will look at something on Amazon, and then it will appear on Elise's Facebook feed on her phone. This is for me looking at it at work. Not at home, where she would look.
Oh, yeah.
At home. And it's like, wait, what? So it's very strange to me how that works. Well, then, so I was looking at something, and she goes, hey, were you looking at, like, stuffed animals? I would say stuffed animals. That wasn't what it was. But she said, were you looking at stuffed animals or something on Amazon? I'm like, yeah, why? Well, it's showing up in my feed. And I was like, well, shit. So if I ever want to, like, look for a gift or something for her, I can't do it on Amazon.
You need to do it on someone else's computer.
I can do it on my laptop. My personal one that I'm using right now. I can use that. Does not appear on her phone. Or anywhere else. If I use my work computer, it shows up. So I'm like, how? Because we use different networks when we log in. So even if I'm from home, I can get I can log into our Rochester network, or our Arkansas, or Michigan, or sometimes Greenville. But yet, it's still going back to her. So I'm like, there's some goddamn voodoo. Oh, and the other thing, you don't have an iPhone, do you?
No.
Okay.
Pixel.
Her phone listens to what we say. Because we were talking about something the other day, and we were always joking around how they're always listening, whatever else.
Oh.
No, we were talking about, like, steakhouses or something. So she pulls up Google to look up something totally unrelated. She brings up, you know, Google search, whatever else. Steakhouses are showing up. We never looked it up. We only mentioned it through words. So, yeah, so that's just weird stuff. But as far as advertising goes, I've never once done that. I think the only one – no, that was on a podcast advertisement when Steve Austin was talking about his beer.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, like, that stuff doesn't work. So when it comes to influencers, like, if you see a celebrity holding a can of tuna, you're not going to run out and buy that. Dipshit has to say.
You know, I did follow, I've got to admit, I followed a beer influencer, but then I realized that All In was not really in Chicago, and that I was wasting my time.
What?
Some woman, a girl rates beer. Is her name on Instagram. And I started following her because she was in the Chicago area. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get some decent ideas for when I go up to All In. You know, so this was a couple of years. Well, yeah, last year. And then I realized where Schaumburg is in comparison to Chicago proper. And it was like a 45-minute drive to get into downtown Chicago from Schaumburg. And it was just like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Fuck off. And
Washington, PA, being close to Pittsburgh.
For
anyone who says that, it's not.
You still need to... Well, yeah, I still need to have a discussion with you about that one, but...
It's all lies. It was to get me to be in the wedding. So, the temptation of travel to new exotic lands like Pittsburgh and discover new breweries. So, I guess we take that off the air, but that was very cool that you guys went to Rusty Gold.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of wish that we had gotten the chance to have the food there because it looked like it might be pretty good.
Pretzel was good. That's what we had. So.
Oh, yeah, we had eaten not too long before we got there, so we weren't really in the mood for food. Although we did get one of, what were the ice cream sandwiches that are from Lawrenceville? No, not Lawrenceville. Murraysville. Not Murraysville. Whatever the fuck. It was in a bad neck of Pittsburgh. It was where these ice cream sandwiches are out of, and they were fantastic. I'll need to look that up again.
Well, AEW is going to Pittsburgh, so...
I have had to laugh that they have not put Columbus on the schedule quite yet. I keep on hoping that that might happen, but as I believe I've noted, I'm in fear of the fact that they cannot find a right-sized arena here.
Well, the shot, I think, is just too big. Right?
Yeah, shot and Nationwide Arena are basically the same size at 16,000, depending upon sporting event. So,
especially with those being WWE arenas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There might be a hold up there.
Yeah, because I think if St. John is still available, and I think I went down to volleyball, Penn State, Ohio State volleyball game there a few years ago, that might be something that they could look into, but I'm not sure if it's still open or not. Like, that thing's fucking really old.
Yeah, well, they're coming here. I told you about getting tickets for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to fix their system. And I know it's a common issue with other stuff, but I was third in line, and I still got my tickets second from the top, and that was best available. Now, Bojangles isn't a big arena.
Right.
But what the hell happened to the floor stuff? And, I mean, it only took me a minute to get in. So, what? Oh. Like, there's something wrong there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they were holding them back, or maybe I'm totally misjudging this, because when we went to Evolve, it was like, oh, yeah, we're back off, blah, 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 we're here. No, we were second row, right in front of the ring. Like, no, but I misjudged where we were sitting. So, like last time we were at NXT, we were in the second row. That was pretty sweet. So, But no, they have to do something, because I'm wondering if like the ticket speculators, the brokers, whatever else, are just gonna not lose their ass, but you know, they're gonna slow down on this stuff because they're not selling out right now. They're not getting sellouts right away anymore.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, the newness is going to wear off at some point.
It's going to be interesting. What is it, 2 weeks or a week from today?
A week from tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, a week from tomorrow. Yes, I mean, they start, and no one has any idea what the show's going to look like, be like. So, they've had, you know, some successful runs, but yeah, I know it's. I like the way they've been building it up online, and hopefully they can take what they do online and turn that into a television product. So that's gonna be the test.
Yeah, yep. It's an interesting time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Well,
a good time to be a wrestling fan, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Evolve or any of that stuff. Evolve puts on great shows. Concise 2-hour shows.
Oh. And well,
no wasted movement.
And that's still, I think, one of those things that makes it easy for me to pop on ROH even at this point, is that it's just an hour.
Like, yes, that helps quite a bit. And that's why I liked NXT. And the nice thing about NXT only being 2 hours in quotes, one's on the network, one is on TV. You can watch the TV one, or just record the TV one and go straight to the network. You don't
if you get the network to work.
So, but yeah, now, how long we've been going? I didn't realize.
Oh, $1.12. Because yeah, I was soon here gonna get ready to talk about the. Some fine beverage that I've been drinking during the show.
Yep. Yeah, I guess it's time to get out of here. So.
Yep. This one, we did some running around while we were in Pittsburgh proper for my niece's birthday. And we stopped in at Grist House Brewing, which is quite a fun place. The Common Heart Pressure Pale Ale. This was really good. I got a big, some big 16-ounce cans that I split between myself and my younger brother. And I'm glad I got this one. He hasn't tagged me in it yet, so I'm going to assume that he hasn't drank it yet. But I did take him probably like $100 worth of beer, so he can, you know, get back to me at his leisure. And he does not need to be an alcoholic and, you know, down at all within the first month after I give it to him.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I still got some of the ones you. I'll be drinking those before the show tomorrow. But I actually got some of the ones you brought me too.
Yeah, Grist House, definitely worth the visit when you're in Pittsburgh. They happen to be selling some cans. I know that they at least sell cans in the area there. It's definitely worth stopping in. That's it's a good brewery. So I will leave it at that. Belltime beer of the evening. So what? @DeFrango11, @GrannyMaze, brands @StuntGranny, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later, kids.